I remember where I was. I was shitting in my bathroom back home. This is a true story. This is a true story. I was shitting. We only have one bathroom, so I was taking forever while I watched all this unfollow, and I'm sure people needed to get in. But I was not moving.
Your whole family's banging on the door. We gotta go.
I was not moving my bare ass cheeks from that toilet seat until I saw Paul Pierce tweet the low res picture of the rocket emoji.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Full Court Mess, the hottest hot take basketball podcast with the hottest boys, hottest takes, hottest news, hottest cold weather. I'm Jared, your local Babu Frick fan.
I'm Joe, flying into 2020 on a heavy regiment of non-drowsy Sudafed.
And I'm Will, back from hiatus and knives out enjoyer.
Ooh, I concur.
Literally the only movie I saw in the theater in the year 2019, and it was worth it.
I have seen more movies in the past month than in the 2 years before the past month. And I gotta say, folks, having friends is a grind.
I've seen one movie, one movie in the last month, I think. One movie in the last probably 5 months.
Does it? Would it happen to have Babu Frick in it?
It did. It did have Babu Frick in it.
That makes loads of sense. I saw that as well in 3D, but I watched it without the 3D glasses.
Okay.
So, you know, I got it. I also took off my regular glasses, so my brain would be like, this should be blurry. And then it was blurry, and everything really felt just right.
Okay.
This is a basketball podcast.
Yes.
Is Babu Frick a Star Wars guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared, if Babu Frick was an NBA player, which one would he be?
Maybe Isaiah Thomas.
Oh. Well, what a timely person for him to be. Is there any Isaiah Thomas news on the horizon?
I think like 20 minutes ago he was ejected from a game at the very start of said game.
I saw someone tweet this. Someone told Isaiah Thomas to pick on someone his own size, and he's tried to fight a fan and a ref since then.
Here's the tweet. NBA on ESPN. Isaiah Thomas got ejected 88 seconds into a game after what was called a hostile act to an official.
Yeah. From what I saw, it looked like he got trapped on the sideline by two defenders, and either he stepped out of bounds or a foul was called, and then the defenders kind of bumped him, and he, like, fell into the ref and, like, put his hand out onto the ref to brace himself, and the ref, like, fell back into some fans and, like, totally just, like, you're out of here, like, very angrily.
He pulled that trigger immediately.
Even the commentators were like, what's going on? And then it took like 15 seconds. They were like, until the PA announced that Isaiah Thomas had been ejected, the commentators were like, what?
Well, even the other, like, the players on the other team were like, what? What the fuck is happening? What is this?
Reminiscent of a recent college football game where a ref got a player tried to punch his opponent and it hit the ref's the bill of his hat as the punch went by. And so his hat, like, comes off, and the ref just goes flying backwards and just crumples to the ground before ejecting the guy from the game. And everyone was like, bro, you don't have to flop. You're the one making the call. Are you trying to convince yourself? Just eject him. Like, you don't have to pretend.
Oh, boy. These are the people in charge.
That ref was no cap. Am I using that correctly?
Whoa, no hat. No hat, boy.
No hat, boy.
You get both of those.
Play them all.
I'm honestly asking if I use that correctly. I have no idea.
I'm not sure anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm 28 years old now, so I don't know these terms anymore. I'm not allowed to, actually, by law.
Joe, if it helps, he was not a Hepcat in that moment.
Okay.
This is a basketball podcast.
It is, theoretically.
What else is going on? Oh, shit. Y'all hear that?
Ooh.
Check it out.
Joe has called the police after we used too much slang.
This is our new bit. This is our new bit. I'm under arrest for using young people slang.
We really should have a segment every time you hear a siren on Jared's mic. Just all of a sudden, oh, and that's it. Time for your red hot under arrest hot take of the day. Give us a take that's so hot, you should be arrested.
Someone hit the lunk alarm at Planet Fitness.
So wait, is this a pro cop or anti cop podcast?
I think it's a cop ambivalence podcast.
Okay.
Neutral.
Mm-hmm. So it's a new year, I believe. It's a new decade. Sure is. Uh-huh. So they say.
Mm-hmm.
According to Twitter, at least, I don't know. I haven't seen enough tweets about the new decade. So, decade, people like lists, blah, 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 blah. We have an article list from For the Win at USA Today. The 10 wildest NBA moments of the last decade you probably forgot about. I thought it'd be fun to start the podcast. We could just go through this really quick. I've only seen the first two to make sure this was safe for eating. and we can just...
Don't want any cusses in there.
Yeah. So we can just go through this if we want and see what's up.
I think real quick before we start.
Yes.
To test us as fans.
Yes.
A quick for each of us. How many of these do you think you will have actually forgotten about?
None of them.
maybe a couple.
I'll be surprised if there's one on there I forgot about, but I mean, I would love the surprise because what fun would it be to remember?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Number one, Andrew Wiggins. Going number one overall.
All right. Number 10.
I'm just like LeBron's block on Andre Iguodala. And I'm sitting here like, what?
No. No.
I don't remember any of this crap.
And yeah, we'll try to remember to tweet out a link to this article this time. And this is by Mike Sykes II.
Oh, that's Mike is my dude. He's a good guy. Give him a follow. He came up covering the Wizards. He's from DC.
There it is. See? That's what we're all about. All right, number 10. The time J.R. Smith threw soup at an assistant coach.
And the assistant coach was Damon Jones.
Yep.
And the soup was chicken tortilla.
Yep.
Is that true? Forget if we actually confirmed this.
It was chicken tortilla.
Oh, yeah, man.
This is confirmed.
There could be some sharp chips in there, J.R. You got to be careful with that.
How long?
Like the tortilla strips on top.
Yeah, how long was the soup and strips in bowl, though? Because they might have been soggy if he had been nursing that soup.
That's true. So maybe that's why he was so okay with throwing it, because he's like, oh, it's already soggy.
Mm.
What if it was a bread bowl? I've never discussed this.
Let's see. There's an extra link attached to this. see, it's called The Victim of J.R. Smith's Thrown Soup Incident Finally Speaks Out. We just scroll through here really quick.
Who's is the victim, the coach, or is the victim like who made the soup or the soup itself?
I think it's
the person who had to clean up the soup off the floor afterwards.
Or is the victim J.R. Smith because he lost a bowl of soup? He had soup and then he was soupless. That sounds awful.
Let's see.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
This is a pro soup podcast, am I correct?
That's yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's absolutely
okay,
right.
So okay. This article came out in March, so it was of 2019, so sometime after the incident, which was in 2018. What we're learning through here is that Smith apologized to Damon Jones, okay? It was a whole bowl and the soup that got thrown.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the first bowl out of the pot, so it was hot as hell. That's a direct quote.
Oh, my God.
Oh. And they didn't talk for probably 3 months.
Wow.
So J.R. Smith, first in line, ladles out some piping hot lava soup and immediately throws it at Damon Jones.
Thing.
Like gently and carefully ladles out some soup. In order to, like, he knew he was going to throw that soup.
This is some villain shit.
That was premeditated soup throwing.
Straight up villain.
Wow.
I'll give y'all a little bonus. Okay. You know what that reminds me of that people might have forgotten? That also related to the Cavs locker room from this era? Y'all remember how much David Blatt loved bananas?
No.
Did he?
Oh, this was a great sub.
Hold on.
Oh, yes.
This
was
great
subplot on Cavs Twitter from the era, to the point where I still make extremely bad niche jokes whenever I see a ton of bananas, like, yo, is David Blatt been here? Because no one ever knows what I'm talking about, but all of these, every picture of a locker room that would come out when David Blatt was the coach there, it would always be this massive.
I found a picture right here. There's an article about it from the Washington Post called David Blatt gave the Cavs a halftime pep talk, but all anyone cared about was the spread behind him. And it's just like four bunches of bananas in a fuck ton of bread.
This man loved bananas. There's a little NBA moment for you. You might have forgotten.
We'll make our own list.
As we go. What does this remind you of that's really obscure?
So this article from Des Beiler says... Yeah, it talks about how, you know, there's like a broadcast of the game and it's showing the halftime pep talk on TV. However, one aspect of Blatt's speech got folks talking on TV, if not the Cavaliers themselves, pretty fired up. The spread that was very visible behind him, it included cake, cold cuts, and what appeared to be sashimi and bananas. There's a lot of bananas here.
That man loved bananas.
I mean, oh, these are like tall bowls of bananas. Holy shit.
I'm so happy you boys are experiencing this. It was one of my favorite subplots of the decade.
Wow. That's awesome. All right. That's a whole thing.
Before we move on, quick, since we are a pro soup podcast, can we discuss... it's one of my favorite things to talk about. What... if different things are soup, like, what do you consider soup? Like, is chili a soup to you guys?
I think that could be a soup. I don't know.
It depends on how you're serving it.
Okay.
How you're serving it. Okay. Go on.
I will often, through my childhood, eat chili in a bowl that the bowl is perhaps halfway filled with rice. And then I will put chili on top of that, kind of like a top layer, and mix it up. Yeah. At which case, I do not believe it is a soup. It's much more solid than liquid at that point. But if I had a bowl of chili with no rice, or if I had a bowl of chili with far more chili than rice, then the rice could be an ingredient in that chili soup, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I would do the same thing, but with noodles, like small shell noodles. No. In the chili. Okay. We can move on. We'll revisit this.
Yeah.
Wait, everybody quick. Favorite soup.
Chicken and dumpling.
Oh, that's delightful. Mm-hmm. That's a great choice.
It really depends. I love a good egg drop soup.
Oh, baby.
You know, classic chicken noodle, always good. Yep, chicken tortilla is a great one as well.
Hate hit by it.
Yes, of course, but I'm very pro soup. There's very few soups I really don't like. Grilled cheese and tomato soup. Oh,
yep.
One of the best little kind of snack or late night kind of meals out there. Oh, just perfect.
I love
anyway, so that was the first moment of the decade that we forgot about.
Yes. Second moment of the decade. Rob Pelinka's Kobe story.
A good one.
Worth remembering.
Yeah, so thankfully, Mike Sykes put a direct quote on it on this article, so we don't have to go searching for it. Backstory is Rob Pelinka giving a pep talk, kind of pep talk. Would you call it that?
Yeah. He's trying to motivate him.
Yeah, motivate him, inspire them. And he brings up a story about Kobe Bryant. And again, this is Kobe's former agent, right? Yes? No?
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, here's a story he tells the team. There is one time when Kobe, who I worked with for 18 years, was going back to play in Madison Square Garden, and he had just seen The Dark Knight. Obviously, you guys saw that movie. And he's like, hey, hook me up with dinner with Heath Ledger, because he got so locked into that role. I want to know how he mentally went there. And so he had dinner with Heath, and he talked about how he locks in for role. And Kobe used some of that in his game against the Knicks. So the issue with this is that at this time when they would have had dinner, Heath Ledger was dead.
Very dead.
He was very dead.
Yes.
So
what was the purpose of this lie? Like that shows to me a just like pathological liar. They're just making up lies that would have had no reason to even be said. There was no reason to lie.
And people Why are going to look this up.
They're easily verifiable that could not have happened.
Like,
you now you're it. Stuck in a lie.
Not only but was he that... dead then, he died 6 months before the release of the film.
I stand by, and I cannot be disproven, that if that story had been true, or merely had all of the Lakers believed it, they would have won the championship that year.
Hmm. Okay.
No one could ever refute this.
Okay.
It's impossible. But I just know I'm right on this.
Wasn't there someone else there for that talk?
Was Magic there, or was he supposed to be?
No,
there?
It was Dwayne Johnson. He had him just standing there while he said this.
I believe actually that was Dwayne Johnson's talk.
Oh, okay.
And Rob Pelinka decided he needed to also share this.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, shall we move on?
Real quick.
Yes.
I'd like to share a bit of breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
I was just looking on Instagram and I saw Kevin Durant had posted a story. The story's not really important. What is important is Kevin Durant's Instagram profile picture is a picture of Jean Grey in the new Dark Phoenix film from a few months ago.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
That's just something I wanted to highlight.
Yeah, I'm not sure what this means exactly, but that's...
Well, Phoenix's rise from the ashes, is that what he's implying? That he's going to, make a glorious comeback.
He could have used any Phoenix.
He could have used the University of Wisconsin Green Bay Phoenix logo.
Joe, have you ever considered being a professional athlete with that mindset? You're a man who could pick the number 00 and give 100 reasons why that have nothing to do with the number 00.
The true quality of a professional athlete. I firmly believe that I could have been a professional athlete in any sport of my choosing, but my mom gave me coffee at age 6, which stunted my growth.
So
ruined my athletic future.
She
told me it was hot chocolate. I believed her. It was in a thermos. I was cold. I was playing soccer. Drank it and said, that doesn't taste like hot chocolate. And she was like, oh yeah, it's coffee. And I was like, woman, you've ruined me.
Either one of those is a hilarious thing to be drinking mid-soccer game.
Yeah. I think it was like halftime. It wasn't mid-game. I wasn't like running to the sideline while I should have been scoring a goal or something. And been like, mom, quick, I need to warm up.
Stay hydrated. Here's a little hot chocolate.
He's taking... The orange slices aren't doing it for me. I need something else.
Young Joe taking shots in the bath or in the locker room, like Ron Artest.
Mom, I need something stronger. Get me the espresso.
Yeah, everybody goes to the water cooler, the Gatorade cooler, to get their water, and Joe's just next to it with one of those Nespresso machines getting a delightful latte.
Are we talking about Kicking and Screaming, the great Will Ferrell movie right now? Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Underrated Will Ferrell movie.
Uh-oh.
It's great. That's like a theme of the movie, is that Will Ferrell's character as the coach gets addicted to coffee on the sideline.
I had no idea. Yes. So I just came up with this on my own.
All right. Moving on. Number 8. Remember when we tracked down Gilbert's plane?
A classic.
This is 2014.
Is this Gilbert Arenas?
Dan Gilbert.
Dan Gilbert.
Dan Gilbert. Okay. Okay. I don't know this one. So here's one I don't know about.
LeBron James was a free agent for the first time since the decision, and there was word he'd be returning to Cleveland. Twitter got wind of Dan Gilbert's private plane taking a trip to South Florida. Then a tweet from at Lowell on Sports that just says, Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert is currently en route to South Florida. And then a tweet from Dan Gilbert. I am? Sorry, folks, just enjoying the weather in my backyard today. But then, another tweet from at Brandon Leister said, can't argue with flight history. Indy on the same day Hayward met with hashtag Cavs. And in New Jersey, around time Irving signed his extension. And then pulls up a flight history page of Dan Gilbert's plane. And that's that.
Nice.
I had also forgotten about that a bit.
I always love a good flight tracking story, mm-hmm. but I will admit I've become a little desensitized to it because college fans, especially college football fans, end up doing it like 8 times an off season. But it's always a blast. It's one of the only moments I feel like in sports that is both like where fans are being utterly insane and it also feels like there's no real victim,
mm-hmm.
which is very fun.
Just a side note about, about Dan Gilbert. There is another article, a link on the side of this page from USA Today, just titled, it's not even Dan Gilbert, it's just another Dan in sports. It says, Dan Snyder opened the Redskins' Ron Rivera press conference by saying, Happy Thanksgiving.
That was yesterday or 2 days ago. Like apropos of nothing, took to the podium and was like, thanks everybody, first of all, just want to say Happy Thanksgiving, and it was like January 3rd.
Awesome.
It's the best.
All right, number 7, CJ McCollum and Kevin Durant's podcast beef.
Yes,
that was fun.
Excellent.
Where do we even start with this? They did a podcast together. Katie laughed at the fact that the Blazers were swept in the playoffs.
Yeah, like CJ essentially was like, Katie was like complaining about people trying to be like mad about where he went in free agency. And then CJ was like, yeah, haha, but like I was mad when you went there. And Katie was like, why? Don't worry about what's going on at the top. Like, keep your head down. You're not on this level. So don't worry about us. And then, even more beautifully, proceeded to keep beating and sweeping the Blazers in the playoffs.
There is a tweet example here. And it starts with the infamous Barstool Big Cat, of course, saying, hey, at CJ McCollum, permission to start using the B word again for KD? CJ says, I still think the B word is harsh and shouldn't be used. He know that decision was soft, but I respect it. It's like getting jumped with your brothers by a gang you should have beat, then joining the gang that jumped you and your brothers 2 months later and forgetting about your bros. Katie replies, so I would get into a gang fight, lose, plot on my brother for 2 months in our home, and then go get the gang we lost to beat him up. You think that low of me, CJ? I just did your fucking podcast, Snakes in the Grass Boy, I tell ya.
Ooh.
Later on, they said it was just jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, number six.
I side with CJ here. I'm gonna be honest. I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but where he's like, haha, yeah, but I'm kind of mad about it too. Like, I totally get that. Katie's like, don't worry about it. We're better than you. it's kind of a like, well, yeah, of course you are. Like, we know that.
I love it's such a brutal comeback though. Just being like, don't worry about like the championship contenders. All right. Well, but that's the whole point of Katie's comeback is he goes to CJ and goes, why were you mad? You weren't going to win anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's like, nothing happened to you. And then CJ was like, nah, man, we're right there. And that's when KD starts being like, you got swept. You ain't right anywhere. Right. And then it's don't worry about what's going on at the top. I just like, he's like, why are you mad? You weren't going to win.
Yeah. I mean, what's CJ going to say to that? You know, like, yeah, oh, you're right. We suck.
It's true, and he can say nothing to it. He can't acknowledge that it's true. It's beautiful.
All right, we're coming up on one of my favorite things from the last decade in basketball. You guys ready for this one? I'm not sure anyone would have forgotten this. Number six, the Colangelo burner account incident.
I'm sorry, who's Colangelo?
Colangelo. Oh boy, where do we start here? This was a whole thing. I'll bring us to the original thing. So, all right, so an article broke. It was the Ringer that broke this, right? They were the first ones.
I don't recall.
Ben Dittrich,
I can't remember if it was them or like the SB Nation, like 76ers
blog. I think it was SB Nation first.
It's a group of people. Is it those or Derek Bodner, who always does a ton of great work? Something like that. But it was real boots on the ground effort.
Because it started with someone giving them a tip.
Yeah.
Which is the best part. Well, we'll skim through this. There's an article from The Ringer that is linked here called The Curious Case of Brian Colangelo in the Secret Twitter Account. Let's see. Oh, there are updates. Jeez, there is so much here. Oh, no, this was The Ringer. It was The Ringer first.
Okay.
Because it says, the source. Our source, whose identity is still unknown, contacted me via an anonymous egg account, both Instagram and Twitter, claiming they had a scoop. The source explained that they worked with artificial intelligence and, after noticing a bunch of weird tweets directed at Sixers writers, used an open source data analysis tool to link 5 accounts through commonalities, including similarities in who the accounts followed and linguistic quirks. A quote from the source. They all have a pattern of likes, follows, and tweets which are extraordinarily similar. So
if you're gonna have a fake burner account that you want to keep private, why do you follow all the same people?
Why do you need to follow all the same people from each account?
The people who follow their real accounts from their burner? What is wrong with you?
Gotta get that one extra follower.
Let's see, I'm gonna scroll down a little bit. They wrote, I was skeptical as a strident critic of Colangelo's hiring in Philadelphia and his team building performance the past few years. I understood why someone who is looking to portray the executive in unflattering light would consider me an eager ally or a target for catfishing. At first glance, I didn't believe the accounts could be Colangelo. They were too inflammatory, too reckless. In posts ranging from April 2016 to last Tuesday, this was written in 2018. The accounts insulted the likes of Joel Embiid, Markel Fultz, criticized coach Brett Brown, bashed executives such as Sam Hinkie and Toronto president Masai Ujiri. Did I say that right? I say it different every time. And every turn, the accounts relentlessly defended or promoted Colangelo. The accounts claim that Ben Simmons wouldn't have come to Philadelphia if Colangelo didn't replace Hinkie or the front office, accused Sixers bloggers of being biased Hinkie loyalists, boasted the critically planned December 2017 trade of Jahlil Okafor, Nick Stauskas, and a second pick, second-round pick for Trevor Booker, quote, sounds better and better. Several posts wandered from Organization Matters debating the size of Colangelo's shirt collars. That's my favorite one. When user at Philly underscore asshole commented on the executive's well-documented sartorial preference, quote, this dude just loves collars. Enough unknown sources responded, that is a normal collar. Move on. Find a new slant.
I was searching, scouring the internet, trying to find a list of the NBA's worst takes of the decade that someone had maybe compiled, and I found one on a list that said, the collar looks fine, it's normal, move on. That was their submission.
Yeah.
Like on Reddit. So, and I had forgotten what that meant. Now I remember.
So really quickly, we'll just scan through some of the best tweets from these burner accounts. Let's see, we have... The color... Wait, how do I zoom this in? Hold on. Give me a moment. I know.
So, do you guys consider cereal soup? Like milk and cereal?
It's not warm.
Gazpacho is a soup, and that's not warm. It's room temperature.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
If I'm expecting cold gazpacho soup and I get some at room temperature, it could feel like it is burning my mouth.
There it is. There it is. Okay, so there's a picture of someone took a picture with Brian Colangelo. Just, you know, a fan thing. And someone replied to it and said, imposter, the collar is much too normal. At Enough Known Sources, which is one of the burner accounts, replies back. Again, not tagged in this or anything. Funny you notice, I had not seen big collars since he got here, so I was wondering why something where 10 years ago was a thing. So that's great.
Just implicating yourself, Brian. Come on, man.
Someone tweeted...
I have thicker skin than that.
Someone tweeted, Colangelo just wanted to make playoffs before Fultz could play again. Pompey reported that a month ago, BC had zero faith that the kid could develop and help the team make playoffs at the same time. SMH ready to get rid of BC. That's disrespectful. Again, Enough Known Sources replies. Not tagged in this. Why are you making shit up with emojis? It's a poop emoji and a long nose. This is a blatant lie. You should be ashamed to be spreading it and putting more hate in this world instead of being happy the kid is back and BC and BB nursed him back with patience and support. Shame on you, big fat liar. I think they spelled liar wrong. I hope your TV breaks tonight. There's so much here.
Important question. Yeah. If your Twitter account was a burner for an NBA... player, coach, executive, anybody associated with the league, who would it be for? Your tweets would be a burner for who?
It's a hard one.
Like my current tweets or like tweets that I would want to tweet out in the future?
No, your current tweets. Like I feel like you gotta assume that Jared's is either an Iguodala or a Quinn Cook burner.
Okay.
Just based off his tweets.
Okay, fair. Yes.
Me, probably a burner for maybe either like Otto Porter, I could see it, at defending that contract so much, or Kyle Lowry's ass.
I tweet about Wisconsin a lot, so I'd probably be like Sam Decker or Frank Kaminsky.
Ooh, a Kaminsky burner.
Yeah.
And it's what gives it away is how much you love Republicans in your tweets.
Oh boy.
This is an ambivalent cop podcast. How dare you?
One of his burner accounts replied to Gabriel Union, who is not tweeting anything about basketball, and just said, "I sat next to you and Dwayne Wade at Beijing Olympics and saw you both being rude, nasty to little kid fan. Had to eat your pizza." there, someone found a tweet from Enough Known Sources, one of the burner accounts, that said, "Brett Brown wanted New Orleans Newell gone. Bad for locker room. Once again, Colangelo protected coach and got shit on for it. BC is class act and not a bad guy." Someone quote tweeted that and said, "This you, Brian?" And he replied, "No, but thanks for the compliment. He is too classy to even engage. Worked with him. He is a class act."
Worked with him. Just revealing information that doesn't need to be revealed.
Actually, I worked with him and Heath Ledger after The Dark Knight was released.
That's right.
He has a tweet saying that Noel is a selfish punk. I'm not going to find all these tweets, but there were some talking. There were a lot talking shit on like Joel Embiid and the coaches and stuff like that. And anyway, for the sake of time, it all actually turned out to be accounts belonging to him and his wife. So
I bet his wife just like took the fall for him on some of them.
Oh,
I bet she didn't tweet a single thing.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, there were tweets about, oh, there's this Jahlil Okafor, New Orleans Noel, Joel Embiid, Markel. But not only that, but like stuff about like super inside stuff about like wanting them to be traded or injury stuff. Like, oh, I know something. Like this tweet about Markel, when people were debating on what happened to him, because, you know, that was a whole debate for like a year. A tweet from one of his accounts says, "Nope, the so-called mentor tried to force him to change the shot. Tapes have surfaced of the guy making Markel shooting while sitting on chair, while sitting on back on the floor. The guy denies it and doesn't want to say why it was forced out of kid's life. Why nobody reports this?" Which is like very inside knowledge that you're, you know, team official shouldn't be tweeting out. Anyways,
I have some important live news.
Okay.
The Miami Heat played the Orlando Magic today.
Yes.
They entered the fourth quarter down 5 points.
Okay.
They then proceeded to score 6 points in the fourth quarter.
Did they win?
They did not win the basketball game.
Wow.
Even though they technically scored enough to have a chance.
How do you only score 6 points?
I want to check the play-by-play to see who got them.
I am impressed.
Folks, I'd rather score 6 points in a quarter than Kendrick Nunn.
Oh! Nice.
Thank you.
So, at 8:19, Bam made a dunk. At 6:49, Tyler Hero made a 13-foot floater.
Okay.
And with 23 seconds left, Chris Silva made a layup.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the refs felt bad and just gave him a bucket.
But they scored the final basket of the game. So,
Did anyone call last bucket wins? Like Chris Silva while he's like on a fast break. Last bucket.
That seems to be the...
You gotta do that. You cannot forget to do that.
That seems to be the only mistake they made in this quarter.
Damn.
I'm really enjoying this section here. I did not know how much ESPN's play-by-play editorializes now, but Heat full timeout. Jimmy Butler enters the game for Goran Dragic. Jimmy Butler misses 25-foot three-point jumper. Bam Adebayo offensive rebound. Bam Adebayo bad pass. And then a Kelly Olynyk shooting foul.
Oh. All right. To wrap this up of this article, the thing that made this so fun was the 76ers saw the Ringer article and said they're investigating. They hired an outside law firm to investigate, and the law firm deemed Colangelo to be the source of information for these accounts because his wife admitted to establishing and operating a handful of anonymous Twitter accounts that were critical of players and other league executives and really sensitive team information. Also, Colangelo no longer works for the team.
And I believe there was a fan theory that the person who originally tipped everyone off might have in fact been Sam Hinkie.
Right, because Hinkie works in AI and analytics, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that was sad. Oh, this is an older one. Okay, beginning of the decade, number 5. You ready for this?
Hopefully.
It just says, the base god's curse.
Oh, wow.
Throwback.
Starting in 2011, when Lil B challenged Kevin Durant to a one-on-one, and Kevin Durant said no, Lil B said, Kevin Durant will never win the title after he said Lil B is a whack rapper. Base god's curse on Durant, signed Lil B. After the curse, Durant's next few seasons ended with a loss in the NBA Finals, 3 straight losses in the Western Conference Finals, until KD joined the Warriors and the base god removed the curse because he's a Warriors fan. You know who's under that curse now? James Harden.
James Harden.
The base god said, oh, fuck, he's definitely going to win the title, so I better get that curse off.
That's
you know,
right.
You know when...
And I just became a Warriors fan and everything.
then, yeah, Lil B cursed James Harden for stealing his cooking dance. the worst game of James Harden's career was a game in Oakland where Lil B was in attendance. So, that's that. I forgot
base
about this one.
Lie.
Here's one I forgot about. Number 4, the time Carmelo Anthony called a fan a glazed donut.
Oh, I would never forget that. What a beautiful moment that was.
All right, so
glazed
this is
donut face ass.
This is a simple one. Someone tweeted at Carmelo, "How about you win a ring, you fucking kill me, man. Rooting for you all the fucking time, you always disappoint me." And Carmelo replies, "I didn't ask for your glazed donut face ass to root for me anyway."
I love him. I love him. Stay mellow, baby.
Oh, number 3 is the quote, "They don't love you like that."
Ooh. Wit single-handedly ruined Paul Pierce's legacy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. This one was cool.
Amazing.
It was one of the most...
Maybe the best trash talk of all time.
Yeah.
Like, top 3, for sure.
What's written here is, Draymond Green was trash-talking Paul Pierce really badly. He told him he didn't deserve retirement. Your direct quote, "Chasing that farewell tour, they don't love you like that. You can't get no farewell tour. They don't love you like that. You thought you was Kobe." Let's see. We do have a video. But do I want to risk it and play the video? Should we risk it and play the video?
That would be quite bold. Folks, we promise you, no matter what happens with this video, we will not edit this podcast.
Okay. You guys can't even hear it. But...
I'm imagining it right now.
I bet it's awesome.
It's very quiet. Awesome. I don't think anyone's going to be able to hear it. It's the same exact quote I just read, so it was unnecessary.
Uh-huh. So we took a risk.
We took a risk, and we really don't have to worry about that. All right.
What kind of gutsy behavior is why you tune into Full Court Mess week after week after week?
That's right.
If you anyways,
use promo code "They don't love you like that" on the website NBA.com.
Here's the thing:
you can unlock this video. You can unlock this video. Full access, full audio. Very quiet audio, but full audio. for your listening ears.
And folks, again, that is all right. Moving on. Yeah, Paul Pierce did not get that farewell tour though, and he really does not like Draymond Green.
When he banked in that three at the buzzer in the playoff game for the Wizards, that was the farewell tour. Mm. That was it.
Mm, yep. Number two.
I always used to joke to try to make fun of Celtics fans that Paul Pierce was going to go into the Hall of Fame as a Washington Wizard. But now I actually think it'll happen because he became a national laughingstock.
He should – his Hall of Fame – do NBA players get, like, busts? Like in the NFL, do they get like a bronze statue of their head?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
If they do, it should be a sculpture of him in the wheelchair when he pooped his pants.
Yes, absolutely.
That should be his shrine.
We have an NBA player who was stabbed like 9 times and survived and returned to play and have a Hall of Fame career. And the only thing anyone thinks is he shit his pants on the court one time. And he confirmed it. And he thinks he's Kobe.
Let's also not forget that this is the man who quoted about when he was upset about Joel Embiid's minute restriction, said, "I'm tired of getting a taste of him. I want the whole load."
All right, my man.
Never forget. He said those words. Boy. Draymond actually mentioned something about him the other day when D'Angelo Russell got hurt the other day after running into I believe he ran into Luka Doncic's ass.
Ooh.
That's a real thing that happened. Just head first. Draymond said happy he didn't leave on a stretcher and then come back in. I would have lost all respect. We've had some guys do shit like that in this league.
Draymond stays winning. Just, oh man.
All right. Number two, the Clippers Rockets brawl in the secret tunnels that never happened.
Yes. Good one. Chris Paul was big mad.
Big mad. This was after Chris Paul went to the Rockets, so he knew the Staples Center. There was a bit of a, what would you call it that happened on court? Like a just
a scuffle.
A scuffle. Yeah.
Maybe scuffle. a little fracas. A little
dust up.
Mm-hmm.
A little brouhaha.
Mm-hmm. Then it was reported after the game that some of the Rockets players snuck through a secret passage to fight the Clippers in the locker room and that they had used Clint Capella as a Trojan horse to get in. When actual details came out, it turned out James Harden and Chris Paul were trying to broker peace with the Clippers, and it was Tariq Black, not Clint Capella, who was sent to the locker room. Boring.
I don't understand, like, sending someone to the locker room to be like, "Hey, let me in," like from the other team, and then like, Chris Paul and James Harden are there instead. Like,
they erupt how does out of that even work?
They send Tariq Black or Clint Capella over and say, "Hey, my boy in the corner wants to talk to you."
I feel like this one is just kind of a bummer because it was so fun that night, and then all the stories came out the next day, and it was like, yeah, none of that was actually true.
Yeah, it's like, you didn't have to tell me this.
You should have let it go, like let it continue on.
For real. Legend.
Yeah.
It was such a missed opportunity.
Maybe this one isn't as worthy for this list since it ended up not being real. Especially number two.
It was a big deal at the time, though.
It was a big deal, but number two for not actually being real in the end? I don't know. Let's see what number one is. Number one, the time that the Clippers kidnapped DeAndre Jordan.
A classic. Well,
that probably qualifies as number one.
I think so. So the emoji war that came with that also.
When Chris Paul actually tweeted out the banana boat after an hour, 20 minutes of everybody asking, going like, "What if Chris Paul did the banana boat?" And then he did it. It was just, I remember where I was. I was shitting in my bathroom back home. This is a true story. This is a true story. I was shitting. We only have one bathroom, so I was taking forever while I watched all this unfollow, and I'm sure people needed to get in, but I was not moving.
Your whole family's banging on the door. We gotta go.
I was not moving my bare ass cheeks from that toilet seat until I saw Paul Pierce tweet the low-res picture of the rocket emoji.
Of course. All right. I'm gonna direct quote this article. It's a little easier to explain. Long story short, DeAndre Jordan had a verbal agreement locked in with the Mavericks in the summer of 2015 to join them, plan on signing with them when the NBA's free agency moratorium was over. So what happened, I remember now, is after the Clippers heard about this, I feel like it was a good portion of the team. Maybe like five of them.
It was like all their best players, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no,
Blake Griffin, Chris Paul. Griffin
was there. Well, Chris Paul was like traveling there.
Yeah.
Because they're doing – it was Doc and Blake, I think, were at the house with DeAndre.
Yeah. And then – they brought someone else with them too.
I just know that the – because the thing that was nuts was like when it looked like they were convincing him, Chandler Parsons on the Mavericks tweeted out the airplane emoji like, oh, I'm flying in because I'm the one who convinced him in the first place.
Yeah.
And then all of the Clippers players started tweeting out emojis like they were coming too.
Yeah.
Which is why Paul did the banana boat.
So yeah, some of the Clippers went to DeAndre's house. They locked the doors. Blake Griffin actually posted a picture of using a chair to keep a door locked.
Like barring the door, yeah.
They had said they kidnapped him, let him leave. They kept everyone out of...
I like to picture Mark Cuban outside the door with like one of those police battering rams, like trying to get in, and one single chair just prevents him.
I love the one where it's the picture of like the dramatic picture of like Cuban and Parsons hugging each other like one behind the other, and they're just looking in from the other side of this door.
Yeah. So they kept everyone out of Jordan's house till he could re-sign in LA at midnight.
And then the most important part is Chris Broussard tweeting out that Mark Cuban is crying hysterically, driving around the city trying to find DeAndre Jordan's house.
Yeah. And then he ended up signing with Dallas a few years later, and it didn't go that well. So.
Yep, he didn't end up being worth that much to any of the teams he was on.
Yeah.
What a guy! If you said like in NBA history, who's the only guy who's ever had someone been willing to kidnap him to get him to sign on the team, it would be so disappointing to find out that it was DeAndre Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Jordan did have the dunk of the decade as voted on by whoever.
His
alley-oop over Brandon Knight.
I agree with this 100%.
It was
the dunk of the decade.
Yeah.
Even if it's not your favorite, it was the defining dunk of the decade.
Absolutely.
It was unbelievable.
Everything about it. The dunk, how Brandon Knight just like flopped to his death after colliding with the momentum of DeAndre Jordan.
He
was so high
like
above the rim. He like threw it in, landed, stepped directly over the corpse of Brandon Knight, and then made the funniest stink face in the world immediately after. It was the best.
I didn't watch all of them, but I would have that number one, and then I would have to put, I think, LeBron murdering Jason Terry at number two.
That one was definitely top five. I don't remember where it was in the countdown, but it was definitely top five.
It's like, I'm sure there's like better dunks, but just the circumstances around all those
yeah.
reactions are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw Giannis jumping over Tim Hardaway.
Oh yeah, absolutely,
well.
Absolutely.
For like that's the one where like for degree of difficulty, he's basically the only guy in the league who could have pulled it off. So
and he wasn't even
effortless.
Trying to jump over him, or so he says. Yep.
Got that. I'm sure some of Blake Griffin's early murders are on there.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. What about if Ja Morant had pulled off his dunk over Kevin Love?
Oh my God!
Where would that be? Would that be top top five. For
I think
sure, right?
I honestly, I think that would be a strong second place.
Yeah,
I think DeAndre would still get first.
That I know they had that Paul George dunk really high. Was it against the Rockets that he did it? Y'all remember the dunk I'm talking about? That dunk was incredible.
I think so. Yeah,
folks, check out Paul George dunk. Go ahead, type that into Google.
I'm getting like 20 hits on this search right now.
Oh wait, no, it's the dunk on a Birdman. I think is the one.
Oh, okay, okay.
Dwayne Wade's dunk. He had a bunch of good ones in the lane. Like on dudes like, I can't even think. I can picture it in my head, but I don't know who he dunked on, and I don't even know what team he was playing against.
Folks, these were haha fatality slams we're talking
about.
Yes.
Oh yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Great callback, first of all. and yes, they were absolutely that.
So what was your favorite thing of last year as far as bad / good funny news?
Wow, I feel like so much has happened. What occurred in the past year?
Well, I'll start with my favorite. You guys think about it.
Yeah, give me an idea here.
I think one of my favorites, a top one for me, is the Dion Waiters gummy saga.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it's relatable. It's fucking stupid.
Which makes it relatable.
Yeah.
You guys know me. the fact then the whole thing that they're talking about how he won't say who gave him the gummies. And then a month later he said he was sick, and then he posted a picture of himself on a boat,
which if you were sick, maybe you would want to go on a boat to heal up. It's
perhaps
done.
Perhaps but
get that fresh open ocean air.
Yep,
this man really ended his year saying, "I don't want to be here."
Yeah, yeah.
The Eric Bledsoe tweet, very nice.
Oh yes,
it's a good route to go.
Eric Bledsoe tweet could have been on this list instead of.
Yeah, that whole saga was pretty wild. Tunnel.
That was awesome.
Because then he was like, someone hacked my account. And it was like, no, they didn't, man.
But then, you know, he also said he was like, he was waiting for his wife at like.
Oh, I thought he was at the barber or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he was like waiting for his wife at the salon. But either way, he's the first man to make a trade happen through Twitter.
As long as
certainly won't be the last.
As long as you're one of the people who doesn't believe that that's what Woj is doing every time he tweets it out.
True.
Was Brooks or Brooks in the past year?
Was it?
Yes. I think it was before the last trade deadline. So it was like February.
Yeah. If that happened in 2019, that might be my favorite.
Yeah.
And then it just fell apart. It like didn't even materialize.
It never happened.
Yeah, I know. Then
they traded with someone else.
They just flipped Kelly Oubre for Trevor Ariza and then let Trevor Ariza walk.
Yep.
And Kelly Oubre's like really good. In terms of Suns players.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're dealing with a modified bar here, but sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a player you would like to have kept on the Wizards, Will?
Not really. I wasn't hurt by letting him go. I kind of wanted him out by that point. I like him a lot, like just as a fan rooting for a player, but like on your favorite team, especially a team as dysfunctional as the Wizards where it was never going to work. I wasn't that sad to lose. I legit that season, I was pretty high on him going into it, and then up until they traded him, I'm not sure I ever saw him pass the ball the entire season. That'll wear you out on somebody pretty fast. But I will always love him for straight up decking Kelly Olynyk in a playoff game.
Okay.
And
yeah,
he did have the best quotes of all time. When they asked like what makes a rivalry, and he said after they were talking about him like decking Olynyk, he's like, I wouldn't say altercations, but I would say altercations.
Funny story, I already sent this to Will separately. Over the holidays, my brother and I exchange packs of sports cards just for a way of like nostalgia. We collected them as kids, and so it's a fun way to relive our glory days of opening packs and seeing who we got. Side note, basketball cards are like super hard to find these days because they're sold out everywhere. People are buying up basketball cards like crazy. I had to go to like a specialty card and memorabilia store to find the one box of packs left in the whole town, assumedly. Anyway.
Nice basketball cards. Where'd you get them? The card and memorabilia store?
I am owned. But I asked the owner, I assume he was the owner. He was the only guy working in there. And he was like, yeah, everybody wants Zion Williamson cards. Card sold at an auction last week for 10 grand. And I was like, what? he hasn't played a minute yet. It's crazy. Anyway, so I found a pack of basketball cards. My brother and I exchanged. We do a pack of football, a pack of baseball, and a pack of basketball for each of us. In my pack of basketball cards, I got two Rui Hachimura cards.
Ooh.
They were two different cards. It was like the normal sort of rookie card and then like a specialty rookie card. I Snapchatted a picture of them to Will. And I was thrilled, to say the least.
Folks, and let me be clear. I don't want to be misconstrued in this. Joe is using my premium Snapchat in this story. All right. This is not something that is available to y'all. Please subscribe to my OnlyFans instead. Just want to make sure we keep that clear.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Will's OnlyFans account is actually half off this week. He got hit him up with promo code Kyle Lowry ass. All right. Kyle Lowry ass. You'll get half off for the next month.
The two S's in ass are dollar signs.
Yes.
Promo code.
If you just Google Kyle Lowry ass, you will see all of the content that is on my OnlyFans.
Little known secret.
So anyway, that's the story of the double Rui I was blessed with.
Guys. NBA All-Star voting.
That has happened. That has begun.
Luka Doncic leads everyone right now in fan votes.
The fan vote remains the perfect system to select the All-Stars.
Here's the thing, though.
Even though it's basically just like a figurehead sort of thing these days.
Yeah. But
it's like such a tiny percentage of the vote, actually.
Even then, I'm surprised that Luka leads.
He's a big deal. Every time I check Instagram for NBA stuff, Luka highlights are like, it's like Luka and LaMelo Ball, and that's like it, literally. He's like a huge deal.
You know who's really blowing up right now? This Luka Doncic kid. Keep an eye out for him as the season goes on. He's becoming something of a big deal in close NBA circles. You might start hearing about him amongst the casual fans. Be the knowledgeable one at the Valentine's Day NBA party you go to by knowing that Luka Doncic has been tearing it up this year in the league in Dallas. That's Dallas Mavericks, folks.
Here's the thing. I don't want to like Luka Doncic.
Oh, why?
Because he plays for the Mavericks.
Well, that's troublesome, but he's a delightful young man.
But exactly. He's actually quite great.
Very fun. Luka's very good.
Mm-hmm. There is a
we love Luka.
You want to feel old? I was reading a report on a top 20 junior in high school for basketball. He was scheduling a visit to he's scheduling a visit to North Carolina, and they were talking to him, just getting a quick interview with him, kind of introduce him to the fan base a bit. And when in the interview, he said he modeled and models his game after Luka Doncic.
Oh boy, buddy! It's been like 1 year.
Luka is 20.
Sheesh. Whew. I am, wow.
Seems more like I really like this player and what he does, and I try to imitate him now that I know who he is. Not, I've modeled my game after this guy.
Or
that seems extreme.
Or he's been, other end of the spectrum, he's been following his EuroLeague career since he was like 14 extremely closely.
I mean, that's also possible.
Could be.
Isn't Harris... wasn't father of the pod Adam following him since he was like 16 because he was like, the Celtics are going to have a high pick when he comes into the draft. We're going to get him. Mm-hmm. That like happened like years ago.
All the draft Twitter guys were telling us like when he was still 15 years old that this kid was going like first in the draft. And then he didn't, but like he should have, so they get the credit.
He should have.
Yes. Yeah. He's quite good.
Now let's wait and see on Marvin Bagley, though.
I'm still keeping an eye out on a few of these top five picks in the draft. I know everyone else is giving up on them.
It's me, the one guy in the world who thinks Marvin Bagley still could end up being better than Luka Doncic.
I actually saw a great post just before getting on here that was from Kings fans arguing, and one of them saying like, it was weird. It was bad. It was one of those bad takes on both sides arguments.
Of course.
One Kings fan wanted to trade Dewayne Dedmon and Marvin Bagley for Andre Drummond.
Okay.
And so all of the others were like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then somehow it gets to the point where the one with the bad trade idea is now the only one in this thread arguing that, yes, in fact, Luka is better than Marvin. And so they're getting mad. But mainly he was saying, like, it was obvious. And these guys go, no. Nobody knew at the time that Luka was a better prospect than Marvin Bagley. And he's going, yes, they did. Everybody knew.
Everyone except Vlade Divac.
Well, remember, the Kings drafted Marvin Bagley in large part because it seemed like he actually wanted to be in Sacramento.
Yes, that's an important, that's an important key for any small-town team. Believe me, I've seen the Bucks draft guys that did clearly stated, I don't want to play here. And then they didn't want to play here, and it didn't go well.
You know what I've heard is a big key for NBA teams? Good players.
Oh, huh. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Don't tell Sam Hinkie that.
Neither did Vlade Divac.
I've been seeing like on Martin. Twitter a lot lately of Kings fans just really fucking hate Vlade Divac, and the non-Kings coach, current non-coach.
Yes. If they had a coach, they would not like him.
If they had a coach, if they have one, they're tweeting about how much they don't like this guy.
Yeah. It would be predictable how much they don't like their hypothetical coach if they did have one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's great to see.
We love to see it.
We had some takes on the docket about current non-All-Star Ben Simmons, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Is Ben Simmons, according to the fan vote right now, is Ben Simmons an All-Star?
Hold on. East?
Well, they only get to pick the starters, but I don't think
he's borderline right now,
yeah,
I think,
so
based on
for,
the voting.
Yeah, for guards in the East, he's in sixth place.
He's a guard?
He's voting a point guard, baby. Yeah.
Okay. Is he still like a point guard power forward? Like he is in NBA 2K? Like he could get voted in either one?
I don't know. I think they insist that he has to be listed as a point guard. The Sixers do.
Okay. All right. He'll get in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll make it. The East isn't good.
He's just a little bit behind right now. But
wait,
again,
he'll
fan
only,
vote.
He'll only
fan
make
vote
it because the East isn't good?
Well, I don't think... I don't think he's having an incredible year or anything. He definitely wouldn't make it in the West.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play there.
And in the fan vote alone, he's behind Zach LaVine and Derrick Rose, who I'm assuming once the other votes come in, he's going to be above them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, this is the fans only get a say in the starters. So the coaches 100% pick the reserves.
Yeah.
So outside of the top two guards, it really doesn't give a shit what the fans do.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have takes about him.
Yeah, we do. Who has these takes? Should I could bring this up.
I can access them pretty quick, I think.
Okay.
We got one that says, if Sixers fans want to fix Ben Simmons, don't vote for him for All-Star. They should not want him to make the team so he gets the message that not progressing is not okay.
Mm.
That'll show him.
This is a... that also, if you can't tell, this is from a Celtics fan. But
I didn't know that. That's really funny.
These are one of the. This kind of just highlights for me. It's more the take's hilarious. But it's more serious than it needs to be. But it highlights for me. It's always interesting to me which players fans choose their like their problems to be like moral failings.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And everyone else, it's like, again, like, everyone's bad at something, but most of the time it's okay to be bad at it. But, like, Ben Simmons being bad at shooting is he is complacent and lazy, and it's like, my guess is he probably just sucks at shooting.
Yep. Yeah.
And you don't, like...
But he's so good at everything else. How could he suck at shooting?
You don't, like, automatically get better at it by doing it a lot. Like, my guess is he probably practices shooting.
We see him practice. There's videos of him at practice.
He practices a lot, I think.
And it looks fucking bad.
Yep. Yeah.
His jumper is ugly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just such an odd idea that he's choosing to be bad at shooting.
If I was Ben Simmons, I would simply make shots.
Yeah. It's like all the times where there's a guy who's bad at free throws and then everyone's take is always lock him in a gym, make him shoot 1,000 free throws until he's good at them.
Shaq shot like 1,000 free throws a week, and he's like career 58%.
These guys do that daily, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, some like, people are just bad at things.
It'd be like pulling you to the side and being like, get in the gym and practice until you're good enough to play in the league.
On my list of worst tweets that you've heard, I saw one, a friend of the guy posting it was like, if I quit my job and spent 16 hours a day practicing basketball, I'd be in the league in 3 months. quoted from a 27-year-old overweight guy who doesn't even play basketball recreationally and never played in high school or college.
3 months.
3 months. It's just time investment, man. That's all you got to do.
That's all they've got on us. So yeah, that's the part that always like jumps out to me. But it's also just a hilarious take that the fans need to nag Ben Simmons into becoming better at basketball.
Until he fucking leaves the team.
Yep.
See, did we have another Ben Simmons take? I'm looking through the wonderful takes that father of the show, Adam Davis, sent to us. And we've got another great one on that front, but that one isn't Ben Simmons related.
Mm. See, we may have some breaking news, though.
Uh-oh.
Really quick. Just kidding. Just kidding. He was not played.
All right.
Because there's a Hawks game today. And if Vince Carter would have played, he would have been the first player to play in 4 different decades.
We'll just have to wait a little bit longer.
However, he was not played tonight, so never mind. No breaking news. Nothing ever happened.
I hope if I were to tell someone that in the future, they'd be like, was Vince Carter like 60 when he retired?
Yeah.
Wow.
He played for 40 years.
Yes, that's what happened.
Well, before Vince Carter played in 4 decades, I was alive in 4 decades.
Whew. Whew. Got him.
Whew.
Yep.
No, that's
and
quick.
I did play, I'm sure it was on a little Nerf hoop or something, a little Tykes hoop, but I did play a little basketball when I was in the 90s, so I just need to hit the court real quick and I can play basketball in all 4 decades before Vince Carter does.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not yet hooped this year.
Tell me you did not dunk into the year.
I dunk at midnight. The ball drops as I flush the ball through the net.
Perfect. The perfect crescendo.
Thousands of people chanting 10, 9, 8. As I leap to the skies, the ball flies out of my hand, my wrist hits the rim, and I wipe out on the pavement. 7, 6.
Lying, I try again. Face down on the pavement, unconscious.
I have 3 different dunk attempts during the countdown alone. Each one results in a different broken bone.
The smoke cloud clears up, and I'm lying dead on the pavement.
I'm hanging from the net. Somehow there's a giant nude photo of me that fell out of my pocket. A smashed McDouble slips out of my pocket. McDouble.
Thank you for, oh man, bringing that back. I think that tweet no longer exists. I think the guy who originally tweeted it had deleted his account or something. But there are, of course, screenshots of it.
That may have been my New Year's, but Joe spun around for a perfect 12-foot fadeaway off the glass, shouting Bob Pettit as the ball swished through the net exactly at midnight.
My favorite part about that tweet is that the guy had no socks on either.
Yes.
Like, the description is so perfect. Hooping at Moore Gym in no socks, did a spin move, and a smash McDouble fell out of his pocket.
What else is going on? Christmas?
Warriors Rockets turned out to be the best Christmas game of the day.
Who would have thought?
As we all predicted.
We would have thought. That was awesome. That made me happy to watch.
Steve Kerr and Steph Curry on the sideline. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
We got him. We got him again. The Rockets cannot beat the Warriors, as the Warriors don't have anyone left. It still works out. They played well, though. They played very well.
They were at, like, full strength. I mean, minus Clay and Steph, but... like, everybody else was back. Draymond was back. D'Lo was back, right?
No Kevon.
No Kevon. Okay, so they're still down a couple pieces.
They're down a few pieces.
Obviously the 2 biggest pieces.
But they played well. Their defense was pretty solid. They only sent James Harden to the line once. Which
is my boy Smilagic playing yet?
I don't think so.
He's tearing it up in the G League. I saw he was first team all G League.
Yep.
So far this year, he's dominating.
Yeah, let's see. Oh yeah, and Jordan Poole has not been playing. Not because he's hurt.
Because he stinks.
He is bad. He's very bad.
He's not. He has not been playing well at all.
He has a decent case at being the worst player in the NBA this year. Who plays? Some-ish.
He might be a... you know, Warriors usually do pretty good in drafting guys. They might have messed this one up.
They might have. I wasn't crazy about him prospect, but I will say I don't want to sound too mean to Jordan Poole. He's a rookie playing on a terrible team, getting a bunch of minutes after being like a second round pick. So it's neither surprising nor the end of the world that he stinks, because he does, but it's okay for now.
No, he's got time. That's the thing, is he's got time. He's a young guy. But shouts out to Kai Bowman, because he's very fun to watch.
We love Kai Bowman.
We do.
Does Kai Bowman still have the red hair?
The red hair?
Yeah, does he not?
He blonded that shit out.
Oh, damn. That's great, too. But I love the red hair.
Yeah, he's been doing some stuff with his hair. He's been playing pretty well. He's been pretty fun. He had that very fun, very nice buzzer beater on Christmas.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's good. I would go as far to say he's secured a spot on my All Suns team. My ever developing team.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a big development.
So yeah, proud of him. You guys got any other stuff?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm not sure we do.
Okay. We could wrap it up then, yeah?
Wait, one small thing. We don't need to go too much time, but we would be remiss to not mention it. Adam did submit one of the most insane takes we've ever seen.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, let's do that. We should end it on this because it's very good.
Okay. Here's the take, folks. This is referring to the Nets making that terrible trade with the Celtics way back in the day. Old Billy King and giving them all those picks and now having Katie and Kyrie. Take this. The Nets were playing 5D chess all along. Their goal was to eventually get KD with that super bad trade, and they got him, and their traded picks helped. Draymond Green, a conveyed traded second rounder from the Nets to the Warriors, beat KD, recruited KD, and led KD to leave Golden State. Jaylen Brown and Tatum, ultimately feeling like they deserved star roles, drove Kyrie out after the media put it all on him. Sexton was the pick from Brooklyn traded to get Kyrie. The Nets trading the Kuz pick and Brook Lopez leads them to getting D'Lo and building their culture with no picks. So, the Nets gave up everything for years to bottom out so they could build a culture. And all of the picks they traded was handpicked to lead Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on a long multi-year journey to eventually sign in Brooklyn, and the Celtics never even knew they were being played.
Absolutely. No changes.
Should we add Adam's take to it? His little cherry on top?
Adam's saying, the Nets traded the Celtics those picks to oversaturate their roster with young talent, eventually leading to Kyrie, who was not on the Celtics at the time, to leave the Celtics for the Nets. The most galaxy brain take in NBA history.
What more can you say?
Did the Nets plant the reporter in Cleveland who asked Kyrie Irving if he felt like LeBron was his dad?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
If you look back...
That was actually Jay-Z.
I was going to say Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd was planted there as well.
How did Jason Kidd spilling the drink on the court to cause a delay of game factor into this?
Well, that's exposure. It was those delayed 17 seconds. Years later, if Kyrie had signed his contract 17 seconds earlier, he probably would have gone to the Knicks. But thankfully, that delay of all time led to him signing it a little later than he meant to, and that's why he chose the Nets.
I mean, that drink spill, that put the Nets back on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So
it left a sticky spot, and when Kyrie tried to leave the Barclays Center, he actually got stuck to the floor, and they didn't let him leave until he signed.
Yep. Whew. Well, how do we wrap up after that news, after that take, after that big galaxy brain series?
Follow us on Twitter at a full court mess.
Mm-hmm.
Send us your takes or yes. takes you see from online.
Yep.
And yeah.
I say one quick rapid fire, each one of us, a extremely bold NBA take for the new decade.
Okay.
I can start off if you guys want to think.
Yeah, you get it going.
All right, I say I'm a realistic man. I think this year is already lost, but the Washington Wizards will win the final 9 NBA titles of the decade.
Okay, all right. Wow. I don't know how to top that or even come close to that.
I think Giannis remains on the Bucks for his entire career. which will span at least as long as this decade.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. the Bucks will win two titles in the decade. Minimum. That's my take.
Kai Bowman will lead the Warriors to the finals in 2 years.
There we go. I think that'd be that's going to be my new favorite kind of take, Joe. I think I'm going to start saying that a team will win I guarantee they will win a maximum of three titles.
Minimum of zero titles.
Minimum zero titles.
When I bought Basketball and Other Things by Shea Serrano.
Uh-huh.
And when I bought it, I said, this is in honor of the 2020-2021 NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
And I think we're on that trajectory. I might even be a year late.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're going to peak too soon.
I might have to go look that up quick.
I will personally ask
which year I did say.
I will personally ask the Bucks to not win this year so they can be correct mm-hmm. for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm Googling.
You got it.
It's not
folks, he's almost in. Just give him a little bit of time.
Yes. While he Googles that, let me hit us with a different kind of thinker this time, okay?
Uh-huh.
This is from this tweet from at Hey There Jeffro. I'll retweet it. It's a list of top athletes with Star Wars names. I just want to pick out a few basketball players from this. Rajon Rondo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hedo Turkoglu.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Manute Bol. Some other people have added a few names to this list. Kentavious Caldwell Pope. and Goran Dragic.
That's a good one.
I can't think of any others personally. Oh, and Taco Fall, come on.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Obviously Bol Bol.
Yep.
Not a lot of alliteration in the NBA.
It's really not. How about Bogdan?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuck. I'm not gonna be able to do it. I accidentally thought of the name Walt Lemon Jr. and I won't be able to think of anyone else's name for a while now.
Oh no. That's something to think about though. Maybe we can try to come back with some later on.
I could not find the tweet, but I'm going to say I said 2020, 2021.
All right, folks.
Wouldn't have been any later than that.
Write it in stone.
That's right.
And then have that stone cast into bronze.
One last Star Wars name. OG Anunoby.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love that. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Well, that's an episode. Hopefully we'll be back next week since on a more normal schedule since, you know, winter breaks got us acting crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Got us wilding out. Got us cuddling up. You know
how it
goes.
You better believe that.
You know how it goes. Yeah, one last thing. I was at the house. I stopped by the house of the girl that I'm seeing last night, okay?
Mm-hmm,
and her
mm-hmm.
dad tells me, he's a Warriors fan, he tells me, hey, they won tonight. They won. I was out shopping and stuff. We were out doing birthday stuff for her. So I didn't see the game. I didn't see the score yet. But I said, I don't believe it. He said, oh, well, they won. I get in the car. I'm going home. At a light, I stop and check the score. The Warriors lost. So who won? Who won last night?
Hey, Sounds like you and this lucky lady are the winners.
Ooh! All right, and that's an episode. Please remember that we love you, and we'll be back very soon.
Thank you very much.